and set me free. I'm happy as I can be. No longer I fear the burden of death. Give your prison sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Jesus has set me free.
Yes, Wanimasula.
Thank you. There's a need for me to rejoice in the Lord. Our scripture reading tonight, we get it from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse
Nehemiah 4, verse 19.
And I said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort you thither unto us, or God shall fight for us. That's Nehemiah 4, verse 19.
Nehemiah 4, 19.
Up to 20.
Mpaka pa 20.
And chapter 2, verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time set in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thou countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then was very so afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Yes, sir.
Nehemiah 4, 19 and 20. Ndipo ine ndinati kwa anthu olemekezeka ndi anthu ena onse. Ntchito iyi ndi yayikulu ndipo ili padera lalikulu ndipo ifeyo takhala motayana-tayana kwambiri pakoma. Tsono, kulikonse kumene muliko, mukamva kulira kwa lipenga bwerani, mudzasonkhane kumene kuli ine kuno. Mulungu watu adzatimenyera nkhondo. Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 mpaka 3. Pamwezi wa Nisan, mchaka cha makumi awiri, cha ufumu wa Aritasasita, atabwera ndi vinyu pamaso pa mfumu ine. Ndinatenga vinyuyo ndi kupereka kwa mfumu. Koma ndinali ndi sana nkhalepo ndi nkhope ya chisoni pamaso pake. Tsono mfumu inandifunsa kuti, nchifukwa chiyani nkhope yako ikuoneka ya chisoni pamene iwe sukudwala? Ichi si chinthu china koma chisoni cha mtima. Ine ndinachita mantha kwambiri. Ndinauza mfumu kuti, mfumu ikhale ndi moyo wa muyaya. Kodi nkhope yanga irekeranji kuoneka ya chisoni pamene mzinda umene kuli manda amakolo anga wasanduka bwinja ndipo zipata zake zinaonongedwa ndi moto?
God bless you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Precious Heavenly Father, we are most grateful tonight that we are gathered here for the spiritual manna from heaven. Men will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. As we look forward to the spiritual nourishment tonight through the preaching of your word, visit us in a special way, circumcise the mouth of the preacher, the ears of those that will listen to the preaching of the word, that after all has been said and done, we give honor and glory to your name. We ask through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You can enjoy your seats tonight. This, I suppose, is a very familiar scripture. I believe you are Bible students. You have heard about Nehemiah. You have heard about the walls of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is not in Mars. It is not in Jupiter, or it is not found by the moon. It is found here on planet Earth. Israel is an existing country. The way Zambia is, the way Zimbabwe is, the way Norway is, or any other country you can name. So it so happened in those days, the days of Nehemiah, that things did not go the way that he so desired. We have heard that during that time, that man was not happy at all. He had no cheerful face. When others were eating or busy fasting, feasting, he was busy fasting.
Yes, sir.
That was what Nehemiah. When others were busy feasting, he was busy fasting. The reason being that he had observed that the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins. The walls of Jerusalem, which were in ruins, would mean that protection to the city, protection to the children of Israel, was no more. We need a protection. We need the war around us so that we cannot fall victim of the enemy. Yes, sir. We cannot be or cannot fall prey to the enemy. We need a protection around us. We need a war around us. So when Nehemiah observed that scenario, he was never happy. He was not happy. And it was noticed that the man was not happy. Even yourself, my brother, when you notice that something is all right in the church, in the country, or at your home, when others are displaying cheerful faces, yours will be down. There is no reason for you to be joyful. Because things are not in order. There are people who never mind. They don't mind whether the war is there or not. But not with Nehemiah. Hallelujah. He was not comfortable to see the things in that state and the king not his face. Why is your face down? Why are you not happy? Why are you not eating? Say, did you expect me to smile? When the walls, the gates, where the sepulchres of my fathers are, is lying in ruins. So the king had to say, what is it that you desire so that you can have? And Nehemiah said, it is upon my heart. It is a burden on me that I have to go and repair and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I will not eat. I will not rejoice until the walls of Jerusalem are built. Until the walls are back to normal. Yes, sir. You mustn't feel comfortable. You mustn't feel relaxed. When you notice that some things are not in order, in your family, in your church, in your country, then you need to go on your knees in prayer. You need to go on out there fasting. You mustn't be a spectator and just watch things in that bad state. It is in you that you can bring a difference. You can make a change. It is possible for you to do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the king gave him letters authorizing to do what was in his heart. And I can tell you, my brothers, we already have the authority from the Most High God to bring things in order in our own country, in our own home, and in our church. The Lord has given you a go-ahead. Black, in black and white. My. In black and white and authority. So our sermon title tonight is coming together for a purpose. We are here for a purpose. We are not just here for no apparent reason. We are gathered here for a purpose. From a philosophical perspective, in philosophy, they have three or more questions. What, why, or how? Why are we here? What are we here for? We are here for a purpose. You have got to think, to try to find out, why are you here tonight? Are you just here to see your friend? No, not so. No, my brother. There is a purpose for our being here. You have heard that, that we have got our brothers from very far. From the other parts of the world. Why are they here? Why am I here? Why are you here? We are here gathered for a purpose. It was instructed by God that we need to come together. And when people are gathered, where two or three are gathered in his name, yes, sir, he is obligated to be there. And brothers and sisters,
abale ndi alongo.
We are here for a purpose, a common reason.
Tiripano palingo.
We have left behind our busy schedules and all other plans to be identified with what is happening here. God has got a task for you and me to do. So this Nehemiah, when he had that burden, he relayed a message to his fellow brethren, the Israelites, to the nobles, to the elders, to the great men of his day. Yes, sir. And he said, look here, we need to build the walls of Jerusalem. When the walls were lying in ruins, it would bring reproach to the Israelites.
Why?
When you are not covered by a wall, when your life is not covered by the wall, there is much reproach in your life. So there's a need for you and me to take away the reproach from our home, from our nation, from our church. And God uses somebody. And in this end time, he has ordained you and me. Hallelujah. In the message, my new ministry, the messenger said, the program of God does not work without you and me. That means the program of God of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem requires you and me to do it. Hallelujah. And he says, if we fail to do what we are supposed to do, then we paralyze God's program. And God will never be happy with you. When you fail to execute your duties, if you are a human, God put you on planet Earth for a purpose. If you are a man, God put you on earth for a purpose. What is important is for you to understand why you are here. Yes, sir. The messenger to the Laodicean church said, we are not here on earth just to look after pigs and hogs. You can be a farmer. You can be an engineer. You can be a nurse. But that is not the main purpose, my brother. As a child of the living God, the main purpose here is to serve the Creator in a way that he so desires. You are God's representation on earth here. Hallelujah. You have got to be an ambassador of the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ to bring souls there into salvation. At your workplace, preach the gospel wherever you are. If you are in a college, you are at school, preach the gospel. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. And when you have done that, you have created. You are rewarded. Hallelujah. We have come for a purpose. We come together for a reason. Now we believe that God has planted this church here in this community here. And you remember that when we are gathered, When we are connected, when we are working as a team, we register success.
Nehemiah,
him being single man, he sent out messages to bring elders together. Those that were very far from Jerusalem, they were called into one place for a common reason, for a purpose, that of building the walls of Jerusalem. And if you go to Nehemiah 4 verse 6, it is being said, those who came to build the wall, they had the desire to work. If you are called to serve the Lord, there has to be a desire within you. Hallelujah. You have to feel that you are called of God to do something. For you to achieve something, you have to have that desire. You have to have that burden in you. Otherwise, you cannot be productive. There will be no results at all. When you are called to do God's work, you have to be very sincere with what you are doing. Feel that if you do not fulfill that work, if you don't do that job, no one can do it. As for you, my brother, take it as if the Lord has put you on earth on your own to speak. And God requires you to do something. If you are a preacher man, perhaps to some extent, consider it as the work is being given to you to accomplish it. And if that desire is in this man, and in that man, and in that other man there, we are able to bring fire. We are able to bring a great change. The way can be done if we are so devoted. So Nehemiah, with the people that he had, they had the desire to build the walls of Jerusalem. You know how long it took to build the walls of Jerusalem? The Bible has got a clean record. Hallelujah. Amen. That it took 52 days to ensure that the walls are built. Things that could have lasted for many days, more than that time that they took. It is being said that the Church of the Living God, if it is united, it can do greater work. The messenger said, what the Pentecostals failed to accomplish in 1,000 years, the Church of the Living God, under the anointing from above, only in 1 year, they will be able to do much exploiting. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Things that the denominational people might have failed to accomplish in 1,000 years. But you and me in this day, if we come together and we are very sincere, very devoted, in 1 year, we can do quite a lot. Yes, sir. As we see ourselves here, we need to be closely bonded to one another. If we are to do something that is remarkable, Isaiah chapter 41.
Isaiah 41.
Verse 61. There's this to say. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41 and hear what, the scripture says here. It says here, they helped everyone, his neighbor. 41. Isaiah 41, verse 6. They helped everyone, his neighbor.
Isaiah 41:6.
And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage.
We
work as a team. We encourage one another. We are not to compete with each other. Our duty is to complement one another.
Yes, sir.
If we are ministers of the gospel, we complement one another. They helped everyone, his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Yes, sir. We encourage the fellow minister. Be of good courage. A fellow sister, be of good courage. Yes, sir. Eh? So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Hallelujah. If you look at this house here, there are many hands that were involved. Hallelujah. There was a draughtsperson. Draughtsperson who drew the plan. We have got an engineer here. And when we are talking about this, then that is his language. Yes, sir. You need to have a plan. Someone has to draw a plan here. And when he does his part, then there are people who then come to dig for the trenches. You bring in concrete. You mix cement. You mix with sand. And then bricks come also. Having been supplied by brick molders. This church here, this building here, there are so many hands that were involved. So many skills that were involved here. The builders, the carpenters, the goldsmiths, the electricians. And then you see this structure here. So it is the same as the work of God. His skill. His skill. My skill. Brought together. Will bring up something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we come here, we come together for a purpose. To build something. To build the work of God. Something has to be done in order for us to have results. And when we see ourselves seated here, God has worked out something through us that the church of the living God becomes built. And you see yourself seated there. Somebody came to testify to you. The work was being built. To bring that soul.
in that corner to bring that soul in that corner to bring the other soul in that far end. Many laborers were involved. And when Isaiah saw the essence of brotherhood, the essence of working together, he had to write this down for us also to read and to put it in practice. We need one another, my brothers. We need to encourage each other. Your brother is important. Don't look down upon him. Don't belittle that sister in the church. She may not be educated. But education is secondary. Apostle Peter was not educated.
Yes,
but God gave him the keys. Hallelujah. To bring salvation to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. Education was not considered here. A child of the living God, whether educated or not, whether poor or wealthy, in the sight of God, we are equal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't segregate people or discriminate people or put people into classes. In the face and the sight of God, we are equal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your brother who looks like a poor man, but because you are there, you being a rich person, that poor person is rich because you are there. So they helped one another. Let's take an example of the white, you say ants, eh? The ants, those white ants.
Oh, inswa, gentle inswa.
There are 10 species or creatures. But do you know what they can achieve? They can bring or build a very big anthill. When King Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 observed those small creatures, how they
worked,
he was forced to write about them.
Oh, my game.
Mine. And he said, they have no leader. They have no commander. But they can do great work. So in the church of the living God, you have to have that desire. You have that burning desire within you to do God's work without being commanded. You need not to be commanded. You need not to be forced. You have to do it out of the heart. If you want to make it to be a good Christian, do things with an honest and a sincere heart. Don't be pushed by the pastor or the deacon or the elders. It has to be within you to do the work of God. And when you are like that, God is honored in you. So those creatures, the small ants, they have no commander, but they do great exploits. So now we, as the Church of the Living God, people may look down upon us. They may say we are the giants. in the way they would interpret it. But I can say to you, my brother, if you are linked together in unity, whether you are looked down upon as dying creatures, but I can tell you and can assure you that you can come up with great things, great work, such that when people look at what you are doing, the achievements that you have made, they have a story to tell. The same way as King Solomon told this story. He commented about them. He said, we must learn from these little creatures. So I'm happy as I look into your faces, my brother. I don't belittle you. No. I know that out of you, much is going to be done to evangelize the whole of this country. And the people will start questioning. You are telling me that it is that group that is doing this work. Do they have big monies? Who is behind them? Who is helping them? They've done this. They've done that. They've gone to that corner of the country to evangelize in that area. You hear that they were there yesterday. And the people start wondering, what is happening? Here I say to you, it is not the size of the dog. It is about the size of the fight in that dog. Hallelujah. Few as we may be, tiny as we might look, but that is does not limit us from what God would expect us to do. When that Philistine giant by the name Goliath looked at David, he just considered him as a little shepherd, a little boy. But in the sight of God, David was a warrior. He was a hero. And also a king over Israel. Do you know what? People have false judgment. People, when they looked at Esther, she was just a maid and a slave. But in the sight of God, she was a queen waiting. When people look at Joseph in Egypt as a prisoner, they didn't know that he was a prime minister. So sometimes the people look at you as a mere Zambian citizen. But there is more than that. There is a king out of you. There is a Messiah out of you. There is a prime minister out of you. There is a queen out of you. A lot more.
My. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Indeed.
People, when they looked at Israel,
you know,
yet those people making noises that they can destroy Israel in one day. That cannot happen at all.
Yeah, it is.
Israel are a chosen people, a chosen nation. God will fight for them. There's no superpower that can wipe the children of Israel. Because God backs them. The same as you, my brother. You are protected by God. The devil and the people and his agents are mistaken to belittle you. They don't know what is in you. They don't know what you can achieve. Yes, sir. But you are a little God. You are an amateur God. Able to bring things into existence. We are not getting far away from the title for our sermon tonight. My brothers, if we come together, him, myself, that brother, that sister, if we come together for a purpose to evangelize this nation of Zambia, to bring some change, we can bring a better society. Bringing people to Christ Jesus. To turn the hearts of men from unbelievers to be believers. And we can do it. Not through our own power, but the power that comes from above.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, when the power comes from on high, you shall be subdued. And you'll do great work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We go to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. We are being told that when the disciples were together in one place, in one accord, they were overshadowed and subdued by the power from on high. And they spoke in tongues and in different tongues. And the people in the surroundings, when they looked at what was happening, they emulated. They spoke highly of this disciple. You may not know. You might not be aware that people are talking highly about your achievements. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They know, they hear what you are doing. Your achievements, what you are doing, what you have done, people have an account of that. And they speak about it in their homes, in their countries, in their churches. They talk about that. Do you know an English expression which says this? Remember, there's always a committee seated somewhere discussing your future. Only that you are not invited. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Unknown to you, there are people in homes there. There are committees seated somewhere discussing your future, discussing what you are doing. Yes, sir. You must know that. That is why we will encourage you, my brothers, to stand to live a clean life. Because the moment you do something wrong in your life, it is being said from the rooftops. So please, mind your ways. Don't just dress anyhow. Don't just talk anyhow. Don't just do things anyhow. You must consider your ways. Because people are ready to talk about what you have done. Coming together for a purpose. Zeroing in on what your country is. We know very well that we've got about 10 provinces in this country of Zambia. You have the Copper Belt up there. You have got the Southern Province. You have got the Northwestern Province. The Eastern Province there. And you have different tribes or languages. 73. But do you know what has kept you together as a nation? It is that motto, which every one of you is taught to believe or to go by. Whether you go to church or not, you are a Christian or a Muslim, you are being told that one Zambia, one nation. And that is what has kept you together as a country. Despite the fact that there are many tribes, but when you consider what the father to this nation, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, said, one Zambia, one nation. Forget about your differences. You could be a Bemba. You could be a Tonga. Talk of Lozi. Or what other languages you know about or can talk about it. But we live together as a nation. And that togetherness brings a success to this country, Zambia. We can learn from that as well. You cannot tell me that as a Christian or as believers, you are divided amongst yourselves. When politicians are telling you that there's one Zambia, one nation, and then you see out of this church perhaps cliques of people. These five are on their own. Those ten are on their own. These other four, they belong to their own sect. No. We have to be one in one accord. And I can tell you, my brothers, we can do great things. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Do you know what brought success to many organizations? In 2004 or 2003, I had the privilege to travel in the same flight with Dr. Kaunda, that statesman, as we were traveling from Nairobi to
Ife,
Lusaka. I sat close to him. I had an opportunity to sit close to him. And for me to be able to break the silence between us, God gave me an idea to make that old man smile. And I said, sir, it is because of you that Africa is what it is today. It is you. Because you are the fathers of OAU. And when I said those words, the man was in cloud 11. He was very happy. He could smile to the ears. And he asked me, who are you to begin with? So I introduced myself. Said I'm a gospel minister coming from East Africa. The man did not end there. He said,
Anat,
where do you come from? Which country do you come from? And I was quick to tell him that I'm from the country of your friend. I know that
I knew that our former president and him
were
very good friends. So I told him I come from Zimbabwe.
And
that man was very happy. Imagine that we talked all the way from Nairobi to Kikia, is it? Kenneth Kaunda International Airport, isn't it? And I had some spoken word books with me. I gave the old man. And he received them. Happily. My. I had a good time to have that statement speaking to me. And he even gave me the address of his homestead. He said, if you have chance, make efforts to visit me. And when we reached the airport, here in Lusaka, there were some aides waiting for him. So he sort of hurriedly came out because I would proceed to Zimbabwe with the same flight. But you know what happened? When he had gone down, he realized that he had forgotten to say to me goodbye. So the man quickly got back into the plane and came to where I was seated. And he saluted me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, servant of God, I'm sorry that I forgot to say goodbye. So here I've come back to say goodbye to you. Travel safely. World over, there's never been a statement like him who saluted me. So it is a Zambian statement who saluted me. I will not forget that. So if any of you would not want to give me respect, it's all up to you. I already got it from the father of the nation, from the soul of the nation. And do you know what that means? If I was received by the soul of the nation, the founding president of this country, if he saluted me, you also have to do the same. Because you have to follow your fathers. They gave you a good example. But I realized that that which is in me is what he saluted. And guess what is in me? Is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will not be surprised even if I'm allowed into the prison to preach the gospel. The keys were given to me way back by the Father of this nation. And my brothers, you have all reason to welcome me in your homes. Why not? Because the soul of the nation received me. He was open to me. So if you do contrary, I will ask you, where are you learning that from? So when I said to him, you are the fathers of OAU. You know OAU, what it means? It means Organization of African Unity. Yes, sir. I'm talking of togetherness. That when people are together, when people share burdens and problems, they can achieve more and better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm reminded in the books of history, through the efforts of this good example, Dr. Kaunda, I've mentioned tonight, that if the all African states could come together, they were able to break the yoke of colonialism.
They were able to get out of the bondage. And they influenced one another across the continent. Until at one time, the men who brought independence to
Ghana,
his name Kwame Nkrumah, which is the first country to get independence in Africa. You know what he said? He said, independence to Ghana alone is meaningless unless it is linked with the total liberation of Africa. He was not thinking of his own country alone. He was also concerned of Zambia, concerned of Zimbabwe, concerned of South Africa, and across the continent of
Africa.
This was the burden of those great men. That burden for others. And you know also that Christianity is living for others. You don't just think of yourself. You have to think of your brother. You have to be concerned of your brother. And when you are like that, then you are considered a Christian. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they helped one another. Until then, the whole of Africa got liberation. They got their independences. There are people who sacrificed their lives. So as for us, we have to sacrifice our time, our money, our resources to take the gospel to the other people who are still bound.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We exercise teamwork. And that teamwork is for a purpose.
Palilingo.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need one another in order for us to achieve the objective. What do we say about the first apostles that were ordained by God? There were 12 disciples there. And God named them apostles. The basis of their success there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost is the togetherness that they had. They had one accord. They had one common vision. Yes, sir.
Amen.
And when they went out with the gospel,
12
of them, they managed to evangelize the whole world. And when I look at you, brothers, this is a full house. You are more than 12. And you tell me that you cannot evangelize the whole of Zambia. What do you mean? You are not being practical. I can say to you, my brothers, don't rest on your laurels. You know what laurels are? The little achievements. You are just comfortable with the little achievements that we have done. Even if you have planted 2 churches, we need 10 more.
Amen.
When we were coming from home, I chatted with the sister. Sister Mwanza. And I said, in 10 years from now, do you think our church will be able to accommodate us? Because I, in my mind, I have a vision. A greater vision that many more will be called to Christ. And I can assure you and tell you, brothers, that this tabernacle here, if the Lord tarries, may not be able to accommodate us all. And those of you who are doubting Thomas's, and those of you who are good at criticizing the preachers, I will take you back the memory lane. That some few years ago, we were not in this place. We were in a classroom there at Mahatma Gandhi. And I remember that time that I uttered prophetic words when we were in that classroom. And I said, don't call me here to preach if you remain in the classroom. I will not come. I made a declaration.
Yes,
I made a declaration when we were in a classroom at Mahatma Gandhi. I said, brothers, something has to be done. If you remain in this classroom, don't invite me.
Okay.
I'm done. I will not come and preach here. I had a greater picture of how things should be. So when I say to you, brothers, that perhaps in 10 years from now, this room will be too small for us. And don't be offended by what I'm saying. It is possible for us to do something better than where we are today. I'm not saying we have not achieved something. We have achieved a lot. But we are not resting on that. We will continue to do more. Better than yesterday. Do you know what the prophet said the other time? He came to the altar. And he cried. And he said, Lord, forgive me. I just brought it thousands, a few thousands. To Christ. I should have brought millions. And as for you just preached to 10 people. And then you said you have done enough. Yet the messenger who traveled 7 times around the world, he was not contented with that. He failed to do more. And I challenge you tonight that you have to do something. You have to do more, my brother. If there are empty chairs there, it is because of you. You are not doing your part. How many souls have you brought to Christ? If we are to count them, they don't even come to this thing as yet. Yet you must be fruitful. The law of reproduction says you must be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So we are also saying to you, be fruitful, my brother. Yes, sir. Coming together for a purpose. My brothers, I've said to you, there are many provinces here in this country. But irregardless of that, if we come together for a common reason, a common cause, we can do something. Our economy will improve. Our spiritual welfare will improve.
Yes,
it is possible to create a better Zambia out of you. Because if you are the salt of the earth, you can change the surrounding. You bring influence to the surrounding. This is what the disciples managed to do. And as you see me today, I'm a product of what transpired those days. When the disciples came together in one accord, they looked at the burden of evangelizing the whole world. And here I am. You know, there was a man called David Livingstone. He had the burden even for Zambia. He came from far. Was it Scotland or so? From Europe. And he had the desire to have people saved until he died here in Africa.
Yes, sir.
What have you done? You even failed to go to Copper Province, to the Copper Belt Province. You failed even to go to Choma there, to Chipata or elsewhere. Yet there are men from very far that sacrificed their time, sacrificed their monies, sacrificed whatever they could do, that the gospel should come to Africa. And they achieved something. We challenge you tonight that you can't fail to do something in this country. When we have people from very far that will come in our courts, in our homestead, in our streets, to do the work, we have to do more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, do you know the people that went to the moon? They achieved the purpose of going to the moon. And I think by that time it was King Kennedy or President Kennedy who initiated that project of going to the moon. It was not only some few people who brought about that project. There were engineers who could make that rocket. There were designers who could come to and produce clothes that would be fit going to the moon. Many people were involved for that project to succeed. They came together for a common cause. And we are told that the men who reached the moon. You can go to great heights if you come together, put your heads together, put your minds together, and I can tell you, you achieve something great. Today, people are saying, Armstrong reached the moon. Yes, sir. Do you want people to say good things about you? Great things about you? Be together for a common cause. So I'm saying tonight, we are here for a purpose. Let us continue to move closely bonded together. Having said this tonight, I say God bless you and we call it a service. Thank you very much. God bless you.